Days at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Muckbill Yabberow for hosting the past two shows. Thanks also to Action, Jackson Vunganyi, Mike Hove, and Kali Abdu for their sporty contributions on Monday and Tuesday. Coming up on Wednesday's show, the U.S. men's national soccer team beats visiting Ghana 4-0 in a friendly international match. 2022 World Cup semifinalist Morocco wraps up Nations Cup qualifying with a decisive 3-0 victory over Liberia. And Game 4 of the Women's National Basketball Association Finals will be played later Wednesday night in New York City. Those stories and much more coming up on the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in the southern U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee. That's where the U.S. men's national soccer team defeated Ghana Tuesday night 4-0 in a friendly international match. The Americans scored their four goals during a dominant first half. Borussia Dortmund man Gio Reyna scored twice, and Christian Pulisic and Folarin Balogun added one goal apiece. Now, the 20-year-old Reyna is the son of former U.S. men's national team star Claudio Reyna. At last year's World Cup in Qatar, the younger Reyna had a falling out with head coach Greg Berhalter, but the two seem to be on much better terms now. This was the first two-goal game of Gio Reyna's career. Meanwhile, another young player for the USA, 20-year-old Yunus Musa of AC Milan, played 75 minutes against the country where his parents were born. Musa described it as a very emotional experience. The USA bounced back after a 3-1 loss to Germany Saturday in another friendly match played in East Hartford, Connecticut. The Black Stars of Ghana, meanwhile, lost their second consecutive game here in the United States. Mexico beat Ghana Saturday 2-0 in a friendly match played in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now let's go to Morocco's coastal city of Agadir, near the foot of the Atlas Mountains, where the Atlas Lions of Morocco wrapped up their Nations Cup qualifying campaign Tuesday with a 3-0 victory over Liberia. Amin Harit, Ayoub El-Kabi, and Amin Adli scored the goals for the Atlas Lions. Morocco had already booked its ticket to next year's Nations Cup tournament in Ivory Coast. The team finished atop Group K with 9 points from 4 qualifiers. South Africa was next with 7 points. The South Africans also qualified for the football extravaganza in Ivory Coast. Liberia finished Nations Cup qualifying with 1 point. That came from a 2-2 draw against South Africa in March. Meanwhile, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, recently held the Nations Cup draw in the Ivorian commercial capital of Abidjan. 24 teams were drawn into 6 groups of 4 each. Let's review the groups. In Group A, we have host Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, and Guinea-Bissau. Group B features the Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record 7 Nations Cup titles, Ghana, Cape Verde, and Mozambique. Group C has defending Nations Cup champion Senegal, Cameroon, Guinea, and Gambia. In Group D, it's Algeria, Burkina Faso, Mauritania, and Angola. Group E has Tunisia, Mali, South Africa, and Namibia. And finally, in Group F, it's Morocco, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember last year in Qatar, the Atlas Lions of Morocco made history as the first African team to reach the World Cup semifinals. But Morocco's only Nations Cup title came in 1976 in Ethiopia. Former Ivory Coast captain Didier Drogba, the country's all-time top scorer, was among the stars who attended the Nations Cup draw ceremony in Abidjan.
Toutes les équipes seront redoutables. Je pense que pour arriver à ce stade-là de la compétition, faut avoir quand même un certain niveau de jeu.
All the teams will be formidable, says Drogba. I think that to reach this stage of the competition, you need to have a certain level of play. So all the teams are formidable, and now it's up to us to rise to the occasion, because if we want to win the trophy, we're going to have to perform well. Didier Drogba competed in five Africa Cup of Nations tournaments during his great career, scoring 11 goals. But Ivory Coast never won the title with Drogba. The Elephants of Ivory Coast have won the Nations Cup trophy twice, in 1992 and 2015. Solomon Kalou was a member of that 2015 Nations Cup winning team, and he thinks Ivory Coast can win a third Nations Cup trophy on home soil.
Right now, you have a great team for this competition. With all the great team that we have, yeah, we can manage to be favorite because we are playing home, and if you play in home, it gives you more power. So let's see.
Former Tunisian defender Radi Djaidi also attended the Nations Cup draw ceremony in Abidjan. The 48-year-old Djaidi made 105 international appearances for the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, and he lifted the Nations Cup trophy in 2004.
Pour la Tunisie, le groupe E, je pense. Par rapport à notre jeune équipe.
Group E for Tunisia, says Djaidi. I think with regards to our young team, we have to take our chances from the very start. We must be ready for this group because Mali and South Africa are not easy matches. The 34th edition of African football's premier event will kick off on January 13th. And the final is scheduled for February 11th at the 60,000-seat Alassane Ouattara Stadium, which opened in 2020 and is named after the president of Ivory Coast. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to former world champion boxer Tommy the Hitman Hearns, who is celebrating his 65th birthday on this Wednesday. Hearns became the first prize fighter in history to win world titles in five weight divisions. He also waged some epic battles in the 1980s against Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Roberto Duran. Happy 65th birthday to the Hitman, Tommy Hearns. With pro boxing, WBC heavyweight champion Tyson Fury arrived in Saudi Arabia Tuesday ahead of his October 28th non-title bout against the Cameroonian Francis Ngannou.
Next Saturday is going to be one of the best nights in combat sports history. Most remembered. People will be saying, where were you October the 28th, 2023?
The Gypsy King, Tyson Fury, is also promising
a lot of entertainment. The Gypsy King delivers entertainment day in, day out. That's what I do. I'm the best at what I do. I'm here because I'm the best at what I do. And that's entertaining. Biggest event in the world of combat sports, for sure. No other thing can come close to this. Me and Francis Ngannou, the battle of the baddest right here in Riyadh. Going off. Unbelievable.
Meanwhile, my VOA colleague, Heather Maxwell, also delivers a lot of entertainment on the weekends.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Just ahead on the sunny side of sports, women's professional basketball and women's cricket. Women's cricket is growing in East Africa. In this encore sunny side of sports feature presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinge tells us more from Kampala. Sporty Wednesday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Wednesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners.
Janet Mbabazi, the female cricketer. Yes. Very good shot there from Gizelle. Gives us off enough room.
Again, in the air.
Victoria Pauls, the Uganda women national cricket team, engaged the United Arab Emirates counterparts in a cricket game in regional tournament Victoria Series at Rugogo Cricket Oval in Kampala. The game ended with eventual tournament winners, Uganda Pauls, winning by 6 wickets after a series of victories against neighbors, Tanzania and Rwanda, and a wastaway match against Kenya. Uganda team captain Konse Aweko says she's delighted her team won the tournament. She says tournaments like this help players to become much better.
I believe we've learned a lot. Cricket itself in Uganda has developed, and many children are going to school because of cricket. They're giving bursaries to school children. People are getting some people like us, we get the exposure to travel and represent our country, which is an honor to any other person out there. Any other person in the sports fraternity would love to be on that team, to wear your national jersey, wear that bird, the Ugandan bird on your chest, to go and represent your country. So it has been quite a nice journey. We've experienced a lot of travels. We have traveled around Africa, around out of Africa, Asia. I've been to Europe just because of cricket.
Joining the game some 13 years back, Aweko says she's grateful to have found some senior women cricket players who guided her through the game. Uganda Pauls first played the international match less than 20 years ago against neighbors Kenya in 2006, and was granted Women 2020 series by International Cricket Association in 2018. Aweko says she's glad the game of cricket among women is on steady growth in the country. She says she's pleased that the game of cricket offers same opportunities just like for their male counterparts.
We play the same tournaments. There is a girls' schools week, there is a boys' schools week. They give them equipment, they give us equipment. The same coaches are given in different schools. When it comes to officials, they give the same officials. Like, it's more of equality. When the men have contracts, even us women, we have contracts. So I don't think that there is a lot of challenge that can affect a girl child in cricket, more or less in Uganda here, because I believe everything they do is about equality.
One member of the Kenya Cricket Board tells us how she started the game of cricket as a young girl.
My name is Berry Loyugi. I'm an ex-Kenya Cricket International and now a Cricket Kenya Board member. I began playing cricket in 2003 while still in high school. When we began playing cricket, first of all, as women, we could not play hardball. And being in high school also, we could not play hardball cricket. So we began with softball cricket. For about 3, 4, 5 years, that's when I began playing hardball. So I can say right now the game has advanced away from that. You find kids in primary school and high school starting cricket with hardball, and that helps them develop their game really fast. So for us, it was a slow incline to be inducted into the hardball game.
Oyoge went on to play 13 years for her national team. Sarah Uwela plays for the Rwandan national cricket team, where has been playing cricket for 10 years. She says it was actually easy for her mastering the game.
Cricket is a nice sport. It's somehow addictive, and it has many chances. I mean, because the first year that I represented my country is the same year that I started playing. So it has many chances, and it's a sport that is growing very fast in the country.
She's grateful for the support she gets from her fans, in particular, her number one fans, her family.
They also didn't know the sport before I started playing it, but they ended up liking it because they support me, and they see that it gave me some discipline. Like when you're a professional player, a professional sports, you gain some discipline with the sport and also out of the sport.
Rwanda women national cricket team first played against Uganda in 2007. The country annually hosts the T20 series Kwibuka tournament, bringing members from East Africa, Namibia and Nigeria. It is played in remembrance of the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. Uwera is grateful she's represented her country both regional and international meets, such as the Nigerian Invitation in 2019, where Rwanda played against host Nigeria in Abuja, losing by 9 runs. Leonard Nambulo has been the head coach for the Rwanda national women cricket team since 2021. Nambulo says he's pleased with the performance of his girls in the Victoria Series tournament.
In the performance that this team is putting up in the past 2 years, it shows that there is something right that is being done to make sure that the team is competitive enough to win important games, and also the structures that we did put in place in terms of selecting the good players that we've got. I think those are some of the things that we've done well. I mean, look, we're beating a team that are highly ranked above you, team like Kenya, team like Tanzania in this tournament. I think that is something that is good for us, and it's something that even motivates the ladies as well to know that they are no longer a small team again anymore in terms of the game of cricket, which means anytime from now we can even beat any team that can come out. Even if you look at the performance that we've showed against Uganda, even against UAE, it shows that now whatever that we are doing, we are closing the gap between the bigger teams and us.
Rwanda defeated Kenya and Tanzania and put up a satisfactory performance against host Uganda and UAE to finish respective fourth position, the same 4 points as UAE and Tanzania, and just one position above Kenya. Namburo says parents should support their daughters just like they do for their sons to play the game of cricket. He says women in South Africa have the ability to dominate the sport globally. Michael Grace Ndiko, who coaches both men and women cricket in East Africa, agrees.
With women's cricket, you have to be a little bit more considerate. You have to know what each individual player desires or wants to have. Not that you become personal, but you make sure that you are taking care of each individual's concerns and interests. Unlike the men's game, where you tend to just group them up and it's okay with them. So that's a major challenge, first and foremost. So it means you have to improve your interpersonal skills between yourself and the entire players and the, say, management team. You have to make sure that you take care of that. The girls are really playing some very good cricket, especially evidenced with this most recent tournament. It has been a very wonderful exhibition of cricket. A show of talent and commitment, discipline, showing that really cricket as a sport in East Africa, especially for women, has grown in leaps and bounds.
Perisi Zakayo plays for the Tanzania women team. She's also riding support for women cricket in the region.
People are thinking that cricket is for men only, but it's not. We women, we can play it. Women will have a large chance than men's. You can see there's a high and big challenge to men cricket, especially in choosing the player to present the country. But in women's, it's not that tough.
There is less competition. Both players and officials say, with improved infrastructure, the game of cricket in the region will just blossom. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Ugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
Hello, listeners. My name is Sarah Owera. I'm a cricket player for the national team of Rwanda, and you are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
In women's professional basketball, the New York Liberty will host the defending champion Las Vegas Aces later Wednesday night in Game 4 of the WNBA Finals. It's must win for the Liberty, who trailed the Aces 2-1 in the best-of-5 championship series. New York is led by forward Breonna Stewart, who was named the 2023 WNBA Most Valuable Player. The top player for Las Vegas is forward Aja Wilson, who is a 2-time winner of the league's MVP award. The head coach of Las Vegas, Becky Hammon, says two of the team's starters, Chelsea Gray and Kia Stokes, will miss Game 4 with injuries. Meanwhile, the U.S. Embassy in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, says last week it hosted former WNBA player Sylvia Fowles and former NBA player Vladimir Radmanovic. The embassy says the players met with Ethiopian government officials, trained Ethiopian youth and their coaches, and engaged with members of a wheelchair basketball association. Turning to tennis, Chinese player Zhang Jizhen upset world number 11 Hubert Hurkacz in 3 sets Wednesday to advance to the quarterfinals at the Japan Open in Tokyo. As we hear now from Craig Gabriel, Hurkacz was coming off his second ATP Masters title in Shanghai on Sunday.
After 12 days of tennis, that was tremendous. The 2023 Rolex Shanghai Masters came to a close, and there were brand new champions in singles and doubles, and the singles final was gripping to the last point. Hubert Hurkacz has become the 6th different player to win the men's singles, and what a final he played against Andrei Rublev, winning 6-3, 3-6, 7-6, saving match point. It was the second time at the Rolex Shanghai Masters that a player has won the title from match point down. The last occasion was in 2012 when Novak Djokovic beat Andy Murray from 5 match points down.
It's the final of Masters series, and we both have match points in the tiebreaker. We're just battling, you know, we both have some chances, so definitely was just... Yeah, just so exciting and just, you know, super pumped at the end, you know, to battle and win that last point.
This is the second time that the Polish player has won a Masters 1000 title. The previous occasion was in Miami in 2021, while Rublev was trying to win his second Masters 1000 of the year. The final also marked the first time Rublev had lost a set in the tournament, and as expected, he was incredibly disappointed with the outcome. He was asked if he was impressed by the way Hurkacz played. The Pole served 21 aces in the final, taking his total for the tournament to 98.
I mean, I don't need to be impressed with his level because I know that he's a super great player and it's so tough to beat him. And I knew this since the beginning, and we played before 4 times with each other. And with him, you can easily lose only the way he serves. As we could see today, he was serving unreal, and the way he shoots sometimes from baseline, full power, so tough to do something. And he have, like I said, he is moving really well, so it's not easy to hit a winner at his level.
The massive Qizhong crowd created a stunning atmosphere which added to the drama that was unfolding on the court. The players deservedly received a standing ovation at the end, and to see Hurkacz remain calm with all the craziness that was going on around him was impressive.
I mean, I just, you know, Andre was playing some really good tennis, and I knew, you know, I gotta produce the shots, so I was just trying to, you know, to stay out there and compete as hard as I could, and you know, to keep positive self-talk and then keep the belief till the end. You know, the end of the day, it's final, and you want to just give it all you got out there.
Rublev was playing his sixth final of the season. It was during this Rolex Shanghai Masters that he won his 50th match of the year, and he was asked what positives he can take away.
The positive things I can take, the level that I was playing all this tournament, that I did one more final of 1,000 Masters, which is not happening always. So those things I can take for sure as a positive thing, to keep basically working the same way, because last month I felt that I'm doing everything right, I'm playing well. It's just a matter of time when I will be able to show this game on the tournament, and Shanghai was the first tournament when I was able to show this kind of level on a tournament. So hopefully I will keep only improving and keep showing this level during the rest of the season.
This really was a fantastic final. The doubles title has been claimed by the Spanish-speaking combination of Spain's Marcel Granollers and Argentina's Horacio Zaballos. They've defeated Matt Ebden and Rohan Bopanna 5-7, 6-2, 10-7. They're the first from their respective nations to win a doubles title in Shanghai, and it was the second time they had defeated the Aussie-India combination. The last time was in the quarterfinals of Toronto this year. For Marcel and Horacio, it was their first title of the year and first since June last year. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Shanghai.
Thanks, Craig. Here in the USA, an update on the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Philadelphia Phillies routed the Arizona Diamondbacks Tuesday 10-0 to take a 2-0 lead in the National League Championship Series. The AP's Bruce Morton reports.
The Phillies were in control throughout in a 10-0 victory, good for a 2-0 NLCS lead over Arizona. Aaron Nola went the first six innings and says he wants to make the most of his postseason experience.
Obviously, my regular season was up and down and kind of inconsistent, but once the postseason hits, that's out the window. Right, anything happens in the postseason.
Plenty of Philadelphia firepower, including 3 home runs off loser Merrill Kelly, who knows his team has a big hill to climb.
I've seen from this clubhouse, I've seen from these guys that we don't, we haven't gotten rattled all year, and I don't expect us to hang our heads and pout about it going home this time.
Two of those big flies came courtesy of Kyle Schwarber. The American League Championship Series resumes Wednesday in Arlington. For now, it's advantage Texas after the Rangers defeated the Astros in the first 2 games played in Houston. Texas will give the nod to 3-time Cy Young winner Max Scherzer after he had missed more than a month due to a muscle strain in his shoulder. The Astros will counter with Christian Javier. Pro football, the 4th overall pick in this year's NFL draft, has likely played the last game of his rookie season. Gethin Coolbaugh has more.
Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay says rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson may need season-ending surgery on his injured right shoulder. Irsay told ESPN that surgery was the most likely treatment for Richardson's sprained AC joint, but a final decision has not been made.
Bruce Morton.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat and dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And that wraps up the October 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
VOA. Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.